this is kind of what we covered, what started on last week, and the journey just keeps changing, and I really need to thank John and for doing the CDs, because it's taken me a long time to listen to myself without being a terrible critic. I can't stand my own voice, so I'm learning to listen to what Spirit said through me. But I did go back and listen to the CD, and so many had things to share, you know, in the vein we were in. And just blessed me to hear the corporate body share its part that makes it whole, that makes it right. And that's support, you know. The body of Christ is such a strong support for each other that I was blown away. And then we got to the part where Morgan was telling about the enlightenment thing, and I got tickled at his story and thought how true it was. Anyway, that's what I felt, and was sort of wondering where to Spirit wanted us to go this week, or me. I can't be the Holy Spirit in you, so y'all have to figure that out. Anyway, so this morning I woke up at 1:20. Oh, hallelujah. and got up and studied around, and a dream came back to me. And I guess this dream was Morgan had to have been a little bitty feller. We were still in the Navy, and my sister Debbie and Pat just kind of wanted us to come up and share a little bit of where we were going, spiritually speaking, because we had taken had begun to take a step. We'd come out of a church and gone into another, and come out of that church and went into home meetings. Anyway, they were hungry to hear, so we were to come. And I had a dream. I dreamed that we were in Oak Ridge, and you've got to be an old Oak Ridger to remember the old downtown. Speedwell, maybe Francis and you, and of course Johnny. There was a vacant spot. What is there now? Downtown, in that vacant spot. Stores.
Prophets used to be.
Yeah, Prophets was there. But anyway, in the dream, that was vacant like it was at that time. And they had pinned up a huge fire-breathing dragon. And they were marching Christians up a plank on like a podium, because the only thing he would eat was Christians. I know this sounds stupid, but Johnny and I walked up the plank and spoke to that thing, and he was scared to touch us, and he disappeared. I rest my case. We moved here. My sister helped him get a job. She knew somebody. Blah, blah, and that all of that was working together, and he was showing us what was coming to pass, that there's no such thing as a dragon. And he couldn't eat us. Matter of fact, when we got to that podium thing where he was supposed to do his eating, I stood in front of my sister, and he left us alone. But actually disappeared. So that's the dream. And I thought, well, Lord, back then I didn't know nothing like I know now. So I wanted to share that with you, and I'll probably have some details, Ramon, because that's been a long time ago. But we've been talking about a garment. And that led us to studying the tabernacle garments, our coverings, curtains, all of that. The fine twined linen was the first covering for in the tabernacle proper, in the holy place and the holiest place of all. And it had cherubims inscribed upon it. And, you know, God does things in such a, it's an order. He intends it. So all of us in that personal inner place, like Francis was saying, I tend to reach for him out when he's within. And that's the beautiful, beautiful thing. Religion teaches us to reach outside of ourselves. When it's all right inside, that perfect, perfect thing. So we have to start with the righteousness of God, but it calls the fine twined linen. This is the righteousness within the saints, which is the body of Christ. The righteousness in each of us that is God makes a corporate, something you can stand upon. It's not a one-man thing, a one-man show. It's great support. So this fine twine linen, as Sue's told us some how they did that on the last tape, and I really mulled that in my mind because I could feel it and see it. We can't skip any steps. We all have to start with the fine twine linen. First step. A must step. The priests, that's what they wore, was that fine twine linen right next to their body. And you, as you know, I mentioned last week, they stripped Jesus, and that closest thing to his body had no seam. That's amazing. That means man did not do that because it had no stitching, no seams anywhere. And so that's us. And that's beautiful. And we need to more and more look at that fine twine linen before we can go on to death to self. Until we see Jesus is my righteousness, I stand complete in him and worship him. That Christ is that righteousness inside of every man. It's not particular just to us, though we've achieved some things by seeing it and recognizing it. But that step cannot be mistaken. It cannot be, or it becomes self-righteousness and the ego, my Lord. You talk about spiritual wickedness in high places. Of course it's high places. It gets in us, self-righteousness. So, we have to keep this clean, guys, this fine twine linen. And then we can move on to that next vital covering, which is that heavy black goat's hair. Now, it's just full of hair because that's death to your personal ego, your personal self that's being laid on the line. I see a lot of people can do the fine twine linen to a point, but a lot of folks never come to death to self. They perform a ritual, you know, but death to that personal self, that is so hard. At first we have to see it. And everything will come our way to tell us, oh, you don't have to deal with that. Oh, but we do. Hair by hair, we have to deal with that. Of course. And it's good. It's like Speed said, it's rough sometime. But the first step is seeing about self. Man, I love it. Most of the time. And it also demands that goat's hair, that we not look outside ourselves, because no light could penetrate that goat's hair. You had to go by the light of the Holy Spirit. When you step into the holy place, there's no natural light. Only the light of the candlestick. And when you step into the holiest place of all, you are one with that light that's in you. You don't go anywhere to get it. You just don't. And as Morgan said, you can't take the barge along in that place that you rode over on and carry that around. That was good. That's just two of the coverings or curtains. Then we come to the ram skin dyed red. This is a beautiful thing to me. It does not say lamb. It has to be a maturity in that lamb that has grown up, a full grown ram. Remember when Abraham was going to offer up Isaac, there was a ram caught in a thicket. The word thicket there is corpse or body of Christ. When I looked it up, I thought, hallelujah. The ram's horns, which speaks of the evening sacrifice. My son, have a good day. We are this evening sacrifice dyed red in the blood of the living divinity. Don't you love it? That covers everything. And then we come to the badger skin. And that's what I want to get into a little bit. Exodus 39, because I feel like it's important we see that badger skin was very enduring. Exodus 39. Morning, David.
Hi.
And 33. This is just telling what they brought to the tabernacle. These were things brought willingly, knowing we'd all like to brag that we're willing. Ha, ha, ha. We are made willing. The bull is never willing. He don't come willing because he smells the blood of his predecessors. He knows what's coming down the pike for him, what's about to happen. So the willingness has to be made. We've seen that in the teaching that we did on the west side of the camp. The bull, the wild bull, the tame bull, the calf, which speaks of a broken will, and finally the seraphim, which speaks of giving it all unto the Father. And we have to do that for it to be broken and for our will and determination to change. So Israel brought these things willingly. If you want to read with me, it's Exodus 39 and 33. And they brought the tabernacle unto Moses, the tent and all his furniture, his tashes, his boards, his bars, his pillars, and his sockets, and the covering of ram skin dyed red. And never mistake that. Not one time does it not say ram skin dyed red. God meant that to be there because he didn't want that left out. Must be under a blood covering. And I'm not talking about O'Neill or Purnell blood. Do you hear me? That's family. So, Christ family, that covering. The covering of ram skin dyed red, and the covering of badger skin, and the veil of the covering. We talked about that earlier, and I don't want to get in on that. But Exodus 36, and 8. I don't know how much I'll read because this is gets repetitive, and there's no reason if you know the scripture. Verse 8 says, "And every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen." 10 is a very important number in scripture. It does speak of judgment or double grace, grace to the second power. So we'll take that, 5 and 5 or 10. 5 is the number of grace. Okay. I'm not going to read all these loops and stuff because I don't want to start teaching on that. But verse 19, I'll just skip. This is just showing you that God had an order that he wanted it done in. It was measured exactly by his great hand, so to speak. They went right by a pattern. And if we think for one instant we're going to get by with anything that's outside of that pattern of the Father, we're in big trouble, man, because we're not. He's going to cut us and measure us until we look just like him. So, and he made a covering for the tent of the ram skin dyed red and a covering of the badger skin above that. Okay, let me see what I got in my notes here. The scripture always answers the scripture. I'm a witness. It answers the scripture. Just a little bit of studying will get you there. Mm-hmm. And getting your head screwed on saying, "Holy Spirit, I don't know zero." But you do. Make the divine connection for not just for me to be a show. That is, I'm not interested in that. Do I want to look good? Yes. But I want to be acceptable in the sight of this great being that lives inside of me, that causes mankind to live and breathe and everything we know on the earth. That's my deepest desire. Do I miss it sometime? Sure, we miss it sometime. But be a big girl and a big boy and say, I could have missed that. Or, hey, now I see where I miss that. Come on. If you're finished, why ain't you running everything? There's stuff going on in us, folks, deep down. And we need to look at number one. Okay. Ezekiel. I don't know how much I'll read there either, because I like to do a lot of reading. It gets me off. Let's see. Okay. Let's go to the fourth verse, because Jehovah's telling Israel a thing about where they were and where they're going. And he says, "And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out into an open field." Remember, Joseph said, "When father found me," or was it Jacob or Joseph? I always get those confused. "I was in a howling desert." I've been in that howling desert. You hear me? I've been in that place. And father always found me. I mean, he's got your phone number. There, he's your rear guard. He's behind you and before you and all about you, inside of you. And you were cast into an open field to the loathing of thy person, self-loathing. Have you ever seen it more rampant than in our young people today that cannot live life without drugs or something outside to make them happy inside? Lord, help us. Loathing thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in your own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxed great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown. Whereas thou wast naked and bare, of course we were. And when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Awesome. That's our story, folks. And then I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away your blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with bordered work. I said the word wrong. Thanks. And I shod thee, listen close, with badger skin. I shod thee. So where is the badger skin? It's in your walk. These things we stand up on and walk around. This body I'm living in. Badger skin speaks of what's in your living walk every day. Wonderful thing. And I girded thee with the fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. That just helped my heart. I don't remember ever reading that scripture, but I know I have. Okay. The word shod, it means to sandal, enclose, lock up, to fasten you, cover you. So I said, okay, what does all of this mean? Ephesians 6 and 15. The New Testament answers the Old Testament a lot of times. So you need to know both. Ephesians, if I can find it. Ephesians 6, and we'll read a little bit. 6 and
15.
Well, yes, I did say that, but I want us to read a little bit before. Paul says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the adversary. And where is that dude at, this adversary? Right between our reckoning eyeballs, right here, is where he lives. His seat's right there. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, trickeries. He's not coming full bore saying, hey, I'm the devil, I got a pitchfork here. Or any of those things. It comes in very subtle ways. For we're not wrestling against each other, flesh and blood. It has nothing to do with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Are we in a high place? Do we ever get into spiritual wickedness? Mm-hmm. All of us do. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all, just stand. Boy, I've been there. Felt like I was standing alone sometimes. I'm standing. Stand, therefore. And this is how we stand. Having your loins girt about, the loins of your understanding. So the ego, you know, it's always got a tentacle out there, looking for some kind of attention, some way it can show itself. Having the loins girt about with truth. Yes, marrying what the depth of the truth in us, as Frances so laboriously told us out of her heart, where that deep thing comes from. It's in us. That treasure is in us. Having on the breastplate the heart of compassion, of righteousness. Do you know what those high priests did? What the high priest Christ in us does? He's all feeling, all knowing, not selective to anyone, all caring. And your feet shod. What are they shod with? Badger skin. Well, listen. With the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this blew me away. The word preparation means that you do this to yourself now. To insist stoutly. To be more fierce with yourself. To avail further, to exercise force, saying, hey, you are going to straighten up to self. That's what preparation of the good news of peace, that's what we're about. And that takes me back to the word Shulamite. I want to take us on a little journey here. Let's go to Song of Solomon, of course. Let me find it. I think it's the second chapter of Song of Solomon. This is an awesome love affair between you and God, not you and Solomon. It was never about Solomon. He was a type. It was about her and that shepherd that lay on her breast. It was about her personal. You talk about a relationship. This lady, this being, this womb man that we are, wants relationship. I mean very personal relationship. It wants all of us. If you have to lay in the floor and squall and feel vulnerable, or run up and down the street hollering, whatever it takes, God wants relationship. Obedience is better than any sacrifice. We don't have to make a sacrifice if we walk in obedience. So how do you do that sometime? With me, I have to say to certain things, clear to me, and sit your anatomy down, froggy, and be still. You are going to do this. Because there's certain things that you just don't want to do, and you'll tell yourself you don't think it's really right. But it's right. Anyway. So she has a relationship, and let's go to that. Song of Solomon 2:7. She says, I charge you, O you daughters of Jerusalem. Every one of us has got daughters of Jerusalem in us. They're called our personal affections. Our personal affections. Everybody's got them. And they're always looking. I charge you, all you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose. This was a swift moving animal. By the hinds of the field. That you do not stir up or disturb or awaken my love until he's ready. When a situation is happening and unfolding, God wants it to have its perfect work. Okay, we want it right now. Or we say, well, it's been 60 years and blah, blah. May have been 60 years. God's working. Then verse 8 answers that. The voice, the heart of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. That's how rapid he's present for us. That spirit in us is right there. Johnny on the spot. I got one of them. Johnny on the spot. Yeah. Okay, let's move over to 2:17. Let's read the 16th verse so this makes sense. My beloved is mine, and I am his, and he feedeth among the lilies until the day breaks. Have you been holding something up to the Father that you want done in your life or someone else's life? Until the day breaks, until light comes upon the subject so you can see it for what it really is and why it's there. Until the day break and all of the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like that roe or a young hart upon these mountains of separation in my heart. Bether means you feel separated. What a horrible place to be in. Been there, done that. and I know when it's coming up. Okay. Let's move on, because she knows she's in the mountains of separation. She knows something's amiss, and she wants that relationship because she's already had the taste of it. She's never going to forget that. Where did that relationship start? Before we got here. We're sent, folks. Every man is sent. Every man don't know he's sent, obviously. But everybody's sent that's a human being for a purpose. We have a lot to say about that, unfortunately. Okay. 3 and 5. And that chapter starts out so beautiful. By night, on my bed, I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I couldn't find him. Oh, that place. But it's not for long. It's not for long. She says in verse... Let me read this, because it tells a story. I found him not, but boy, I'm looking for him. I'll just rise up now and go about my city, my government that I've made, that's upon my shoulders, that I decided I would do. I'll look at my own government that's running me. And I looked in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. And I sought him, but I found him not. Well, the watchman that runs around the city, they found me, to whom I said, have you seen him that my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, and I found him whom my soul loveth. It's good to tell other people when you're hungry to have such, keep those encounters and connections constantly going between you and spirit. It is good to share it with the body that cares, and we can cry out for one another. I found him whom my soul loveth, and I held him and would not let him go. When my husband went to sea, I cannot tell you what it did to me. Never mind what it was doing to him. When them sailors get off that ship, whew, there is nothing more beautiful than that husband to come home, to hold his family again. It's not like he hadn't been suffering. But I know about that one. That one right there, I got to experience. Let's see where I'm at. I brought him into my mother's house. Oh, yes. This we're doing. Bringing him into the mother's house. The divine feminine. That's what that means, folks. And into the chamber of her that conceived me. That man with a womb that conceives you. Okay. Get on my page. Okay. Where am I? I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, all my affections, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you don't disturb nor awake my love till he's finished with this that I'm going through, with this present particular thing that I'm suffering. Let love have its perfect work. It just is a time thing. Usually, in my life, it's been a time thing. I don't get much instant cocoa, but I like it. Okay, I'm looking for something. I don't know what I've done with it. 3-5. It can't be right. I said that already. Mountains of Beth are in the separation. That's where I was. Okay, I'm right. Okay, chapter 4. I'm going to read that because that's so pretty. It's just to the 6th verse. Here I am, long-winded again. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. There, thy hair is like a flock of goats that appears on Mount Gilead. It speaks of tresses being an order. And if there's ever been a time when they're screwing up hair, I mean, newsmen come on the stage and stars and they got hair poked and stuck and out, it looks like a haint that ain't. I'm telling you, I just can't believe it. So that's not the kind of hair God's looking for. The covering on your head is ordered and fashioned, every hair numbered. That means dealt with, beloved, and put in its little place. No wonder we're so wild about fixing our hair. Okay, I'm just going to go on because it tells about this beautiful being. And she says, until the day breaks, the shadows flee away. This is verse 6. I think I'll just get me to the mountain of myrrh. My goodness. Myrrh is distilled in droplets, drop by drop by drop by drop. And to the hill of frankincense. And what doesn't get distilled gets smoked out, because frankincense is a white smoke. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So she's moved from the mountains of separation, and he's doing a work of distilling and smoking it out. So that thing's really hung in there. Just hold on, because he's got every way to clean it up and out. All right. Seven, 3. How beautiful are the feet with shoes, O Princess Daughter. What kind of shoes? Badger skin, which is the preparation of the gospel of peace coming out of our beings and living in us. O Prince's Daughter, like the joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the body of Christ is fitly joined together, wants to cooperate, wants to work. What if my body, my hips would say to each other, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. I mean, just fall everywhere and all this stuff. There has to be a cooperation and a flowing with what is going on. So we bring ourselves into subjection to that we know is God in us. Not with a defiance. Not with determining not to flow. Good God, take a hold and drink and be part of. Be humble enough to say, hey, I need this. Obviously, I need this. Verse 3. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Same milk source. The sincere milk of God's word for all of us. And then we come to the last verse I think I'm going to use. No, lose that Bible. 8 and 13. Here she says, or he's speaking to her, "Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice." Cause me to hear it. I've cried out all my life for hearing ear. One ear nailed to the door, which is him. I mean, totally nailed to him for his perfect work to be done, not just in me, but everything behind me. Yes. She says, "Make haste, my beloved, and be like to that roe or young hart." And look where she's gotten to, up on these mountains of spices. She's come to a beautiful, beautiful place. These animals run up to 40 miles an hour. In my study, I found that. Can you imagine their hoofs on the mountain of spices, digging into that mountain of spice and just stirring that spice so it just covers everything for miles and miles around you? Yes, you talk about fortifying us. We're fortified with that beautiful spice, and it's in us. Somebody tells me I'm spicy, I'm going, okay, I hope it's the right kind. So it releases his beautiful scent all over the earth. In Psalms 4 and 11, she says, "Thy garments, the smell of thy garments is like Lebanon." That speaks of the greenery, evergreens in Lebanon. Never lose their greenery, and it's so green and smells so strong. You know how pine needles and things like that smell, evergreens. She said, that's what his garment smells like, life. I smell his life. Job 39 and 25 says a beautiful thing. Well, in the Levitical law, it talks about the man with a deformity of the nose, your nose brain. You cannot lie to your nose brain. But if you're in a death process, that is the first thing that goes, is your smelling ability. So wait a minute. Job. I have to put sticky notes all over me, I guess. I can't remember stuff. Job 39 and 25. Anyway, in Israel, there could be no flat-nosed, meant discernment is the biggest word in the body of Christ right now. And this is discernment. Listen. He saith among the trumpets, ha, ha, and he smelleth the battle way off. Before the battle ever gets here, he smells what's coming down the road. Folks, that discernment quality needs to be so dealt with and restored in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, I know this because people can't smell their own self. Huh. That's the first thing that goes. Give me a break. Smell what's really going on here. And he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains, and all the shouting that's coming up. Amazing. Amazing. So you see why I wanted to take us on that little journey today. Philippians. This will be the last one. Philippians 4 and 18. This would be Paul. Let me read one verse first. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that you may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. So the scripture answers the scripture. I appreciate you listening. Nobody said very much this morning, but that is all right. I feel good up here and delivered my heart.